Homily 42. Jesus the Eunuch. Barren Women. Blessed are those who become eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of God. Today's first reading, dealing with Elkanah and his wife Hannah, remind me of Safed Israel, a small town of strict Orthodox Jews with a long history of Jewish mysticism, the Kabbalah. A New York Jewish woman in our group pointed out to me with some disgust that most of the women we saw in the town were pregnant. How different from this morning's first reading, with Hannah bewailing that she is barren. For a Jewish woman, to be barren was almost worse than death. The ultimate curse, reflecting God's supposed displeasure and holding her up to the ridicule of all, especially Peninnah, Elkanah's fertile other wife. But Elkanah assures Hannah that he loves her. He gives her a double portion of his temple sacrifices and says, "Why do you grieve? Am I not more to you than 10 sons?" I was touched by what a Muslim taxicab driver in Berlin, Germany, told me. He said, "I have 5 daughters, but I still love them all." The desire for sons. There is a happy ending. Hannah did bear a son, Samuel, whom she promised to dedicate to God as a Nazarite, who neither drink alcohol nor cut his hair. Samuel is an important Old Testament figure, the last judge, read tribal chief of Israel, and a great prophet. When a pious airline stewardess sat next to me as we landed, I told her that Jesus was ridiculed, insulted as a eunuch, for not being married and having children. An unmarried Jewish man was almost the equivalent of a murderer, because he did not add numbers to his people. She insisted that God the Father knew that Jesus would be killed and did not want to leave behind a widow. However, I told her to read Matthew 17, in which Jesus proclaims, "Blessed are those who become eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of God." The Apostle Paul teaches the same thing in 1 Corinthians 7. It has long struck me that whenever the New Testament speaks of marriage, it also speaks of celibacy. Do not both Christian vocations support and strengthen each other? This morning's gospel focuses on the beginning of Jesus' public ministry in the Galilee area, a hotbed of anti-Roman revolutionary activity. John the Baptist may have been jailed and killed by Herod, not only because of his criticisms of Herod's marital status, but also because of his involvement with revolutionaries. Jesus' main message is, "The kingdom of God is at hand. Change your ways." Through his actions, his preaching, Jesus proclaimed that Israel's history, world's history, had reached its climactic moment because he was there. Jesus did not say, "My kingdom is not of this world," but, "My kingdom is not from this world, and one that has everything to do with this world, a world fully transformed by God's healing and forgiving love, the new heavens and the new earth of the book of Revelation. Neither violence nor radical fidelity to the law, but only justice, love, and peace will usher in this kingdom, of which Jesus is the seed." Now, there was a dispute on Facebook recently about whether Jesus was a rabbi. Well, he was certainly called a rabbi, a teacher. But he was a wandering preacher with such a charismatic personality that Andrew, Peter, James, John, simply dropped everything to follow him without any hesitation. A rabbi, on the other hand, had disciples who sought him out, as I sought out my doctoral father in Germany. On the other hand, Jesus sought out his disciples and instructed them about the kingdom, not the finer points of the law, as the rabbis would. If Jesus walked into this chapel now, would you, would I, drop everything to follow him? You want me to leave my comfortable lifestyle at Boston College, my computer, my books, my community? Hard call. The kingdom of God is at hand. Change your ways.